Rod's Pulse Podcast number 48, National Distance Learning Week, interview with Dr. Ken Hartman.
Brought to you in part by Illuminate, where bright ideas meet.
Amber, there must be a dozen web collaboration solutions for educators. How do I figure out which one to use?
Well, Gary, the great thing about Illuminate is that they offer a free 3-user vRoom.
Big deal. I can get a 15-day eval from any web conferencing vendor.
Illuminate vRoom is different. The great thing is that you can use your vRoom for as much as you want, as long as you like, no restrictions.
Well, if it's free, they must have yanked out a bunch of features.
No way, Gary. You can use whiteboard, application sharing, multi-point voice over IP, PowerPoint presentations, video broadcasts, and more. The Illuminate people are so confident that you'll love it, they're giving it away. And even if you don't want to pay to upgrade to more than 3 simultaneous users, you can continue to use your free vRoom.
How do I sign up?
It's easy. Just visit getvroom.com/rodspulse. That's getvroom.com/rodspulse.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Hi, this is Rod. Welcome back. That's a little change of pace from the rock music I've been playing lately. That's a bit of New Age piano. It's a piece called Run from the album called Lines Build Walls by Aaron Starks. I have played him before. I really like his piano. Stay tuned at the end of my podcast and I'll play the full song called Run. Today I've decided to forego my news from the podosphere. I wanted to spend the whole time talking about National Distance Learning Week, which is coming up this November, the week of November 12th. I have an interview with Dr. Ken Hartman. He's the National Distance Learning Week Committee Chair, and he's also the Academic Director at Drexel Online. Very pleased to have Dr. Hartman here. Dr. Hartman is internationally known as an educator. He's served the past 26 years as a university professor, an academic administrator, and a consultant at several leading universities, including the University of Pennsylvania, and now Drexel. He's the author of numerous publications related to educational technology. He's formerly a syndicated newspaper columnist, television talk show host, and he's also seen regular today on Philadelphia's NBC 10 as the station's on-air technology contributor. Recent awards and honors include the 2006 Partners in Education Award from the Pennsylvania Association for College Admission Counseling, the 2006 Drexel School of Education's Faculty Fellow and Associate Award, and the 2007 Penn Educator of the Year Award from the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Hartman holds an undergraduate degree from the State University of New York, a master's degree from Michigan State, and a doctorate from the University of Pennsylvania. So, pleased to have Ken talk to us about National Distance Learning Week. Well, I'm very happy to have Ken Hartman here with me today to discuss National Distance Learning Week. And certainly Drexel has been in the news an awful lot lately. And Ken, why don't we start out by just giving my audience a little background on what you do at Drexel and Drexel Online.
Sure. Thanks, Rod. Drexel Online is a subsidiary of Drexel University. And basically what that means is about 6 years ago, Drexel University wanted to become a major player in the online world, the online delivery of degrees, and recognized that in order to be a major player, they needed to create a separate unit that had new and unique skills and resources to deliver this degree. So 6 years ago, Drexel created Drexel University Online, and with just really two people and a business plan, and over the course of the next 6 years leading up actually to this year, Drexel has gone from just a few 100 students taking online degree courses to just under 4,000 students in taking online degree programs, and revenue from a few hundred thousand dollars to just over $30 million in 5 years.
That's amazing. Wow. You hear about distance learning and online learning, and I want to talk about National Distance Learning Week. Do you make a distinction between distance learning and online learning? How would you describe or distinguish them for our audience?
Online learning is, of course, a part of distance learning. It has become with the amount of access now people have to broadband internet connection, online learning has become the predominant player. However, there are other ways in which learning is transported through satellites, through cable in the classroom, and other things. But clearly, online learning, because of the access to broadband connectivity, has become the major player in the distance learning arena.
Certainly, we're seeing it more and more. I know at Thomas Jefferson, we've dabbled in it a little bit. We don't have any pure online degrees, but we certainly have a few courses and, certainly a lot of sort of mixed or I guess this, you call it an adjunct to the standard learning.
Yeah, what's really occurred over the last 7 to 8 years has that clearly the for-profit institutions, the Phoenix and the Capellas, were the leaders in this arena, and they jumped out and gathered the first mover advantage. It isn't really until the last 6 years or so that and certainly within the last year that the nonprofit institutions have decided to stake out their ground in this arena. And while some of them are focusing more on just using the technology to enhance an on-campus face-to-face course, there are many of them, it seems like every week, that are announcing new online degree programs and initiatives.
Right. Yeah, in my news from the Potosphere, which I covered earlier before our interview here, I mentioned Lehigh University is debuting in an open virtual classroom. Even the Canadian Medical School is beginning to use it. And, of course, you hear something about Drexel in the news almost every day here around Philadelphia.
we're pretty good about that. But the other interesting piece is you're starting to see a lot more partnerships with international institutions across the world that are now utilizing the online platform and partnering with colleges here in the States to deliver instruction to their students where their students could not, given how difficult it is now in the post-9/11 arena, how difficult it is for many students to get the necessary paperwork to come to the States. Some universities are beginning to capitalize or certainly take advantage of the fact that these students can't get to the United States and delivering the education remotely through the Internet.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but, especially in light of our anniversary of 9/11 we had yesterday. That's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we move on to National Distance Learning Week? Do you want to give us some background and tell us what that's all about?
Well, National Distance Learning Week, the intent of National Distance Learning Week is to really to spread the word to everyone about the exciting things that are happening in distance learning, whether it be online or through satellite education, on college campuses, in K-12 schools. There was a report the other day that showed that over 700,000 students now in K-12 are taking courses online. States like Michigan, for example, just this year will be the first class that will have as a graduation requirement the requirement to take an online course. Businesses are moving more and more to distance learning and working in partnerships with colleges, universities, and other organizations. So what we're trying to do is to spread the news and really not only spread the news to people about the growth in distance learning, but also to recognize the leaders in the field, those people that have been out there in the trenches in some cases for decades, starting perhaps with satellite education and now moving to online, to recognize that this is a moving target that we've gone now from Web 1, as you know, Rod, to Web 2, and now we're on Web 3 with, you know, virtual reality worlds. So it's a really exciting time to be involved in distance learning, and I would say for prospective students to jump in. The water is warm. There's lots of pools out there for those that want to jump into it. While it's not for everyone, distance learning that is, we are seeing, you know, just wonderful success stories at institutions, including ours, but institutions all over the country. So again, it's an opportunity to promote distance learning, to allow people, because there's an awful lot of questions about distance learning. Maybe we can get into those in a few moments, but there are an awful lot of questions, and there are also an awful lot of myths surrounding distance learning. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to use this week to showcase some of the great things that are happening out there and recognize some of the good people that are doing it.
I understand that there's been a previous distance learning week, and we might even get some sponsorship, so to speak, from our own Congress. Is that right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had Senator Kennedy from Massachusetts has been a big supporter of distance learning, and he has one that you'll see actually has written a wonderful letter of support. It's available on the on our websites at ndlw.org, National Distance Learning Week. .org. His letter is available on there, and there are also when we created this website, Rod, we wanted to create it in such a way that not only would it be a great resource for providers of distance learning, whether it be governmental or military agencies, college, universities, but also a place that students, prospective students, can go to mm-hmm. to find out more about distance learning. Mm-hmm. And so again, I'm sure it'll probably be in your show notes, but the website is ndlw.org.
Right, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. I always list all the URLs in the show notes. What are the kind of activities that you would expect to see, and how are you planning at Drexel to observe National Distance Learning Week?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, we had a meeting. We have a national committee made up of about 17 people from all different sectors of distance learning, military, government, those people that provide services and programs to distance learning providers. And the committee has the task of getting and promoting both local as well as national events during that week. So we're going to be encouraging colleges and K-12 cyber schools to have virtual open houses. We'll be listing all of those events on the website as we receive them. And at the national level, each day during that week in November, the 12th through the 16th, U.S. Distance Learning Association, which is the sponsor of National Distance Learning Week, USDLA will be doing webinars at the again, to profile and showcase some of the neat and exciting things that are going on in this field. So at a national level, we will have that. We're asking and inviting institutions and schools and governmental agencies to showcase what they're doing. And at the same time, we're going to be trying to do something here in the Philadelphia area with the colleges that are part of a consortium that you and I belong to. In which we are going to look to recognize and honor some of the people that have been involved mm-hmm. locally as well.
Uh-huh. That's great. I've seen the early version of the website, and it's nice because it allow our local or any colleges to grab some of generate flyers and newsletters, so we've done all the work for them. They just have to promote it locally.
Yeah, it is as I mentioned before, there it's been around a while. Distance learning could trace its roots back to the old correspondence days, where Penn State 100 years ago was doing correspondence through the mail. But the point is that it's changing so quickly that a lot of people aren't exactly sure what it is anymore. And so this website and certainly these activities are designed to help people get a handle on what it is and what it is not.
Right, right. I guess it's not a household word yet, but folks are beginning to hear about Web 2.0. It's made it to the major broadcast networks. There was a program I watched last night called I Caught, and it brings, you know, they talk about blogs and wikis and so on. And but it's still very confusing, I think, for the general public. I wonder if you could speculate, you know, there's a lot going on, and how do you think technology can serve education better in the future, and where do you see the future of distance learning?
Oh, man, if I had the answer to that, I could retire tomorrow on a nice solid salary. It's interesting. The one thing we do know for certain is that the technology will continue to get faster, smaller, and will be more accessible as we move forward. I mean, we know that for certain. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that. The real unknown, Rod, I think in my opinion, is the user, the end user. To what extent will the end user take advantage of the technology that's available not only today but down the road to enhance learning? Because ultimately, when push comes to shove, we have lots of toys and lots of bells and whistles, whether it's the latest iPod or whether it's the latest, you name it, laptop or GPS device or whatever it happens to be. The bottom line is that will always be changing. The bottom line is our students' learning is teaching being right. Conducted in a different manner. I know you've been on the forefront of this with your podcast, and you know I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but the reality is that unfortunately, certainly in the higher ed arena, the promotion and reward structure that we have in place really doesn't acknowledge these new ways in which we can help students to learn.
Exactly.
If you look at why you mentioned Web 2.0 and you look at typically what's driving that, and social networking is really behind that, whether it's the blogs or whether it's sharing the videos on MySpace or whatever it happens to be, it is this need for humans to communicate and
right.
to share information, new information, question information, existing information. And unfortunately, the way that most college lectures and college classes are held today, particularly in the traditional face-to-face classroom, is that you have a professor who has knowledge between his or her two ears, and it's the objective of the student to figure out what's between his or her ears and be able to recite that back in such a way that you get an A.
Right.
Well,
right.
The technology allows us to go well beyond the ears and acknowledge the fact that, you know, it may be a smart professor, but that professor doesn't have everything and know everything related to that subject in his or her head. The internet, however, allows us to have unprecedented access to vast amount of information, and what we need to do is to train and convince the university faculty that you're no longer the keeper of knowledge. You
right.
are merely a facilitator of that. You're the orchestrator of that process, and allow students to utilize that human need to interact and to communicate and to socialize, and direct that towards a specific learning objective. That's the key. So we can have new gadgets, and as in my role with NBC TV, I'm constantly showing new gadgets on the air. We can have new gadgets every week. It's how much learning took place with film strips.
Right.
Well, if they did, bring them back.
Right.
But it's just another gadget until we figure out how we can help students learn.
Well,
better.
It's interesting. I certainly agree, and you're touching on something that I've thought for a long time. And in terms of what the impediments are to education, I think, in some sense, it's the educational infrastructure that we have that is based on decades, if not 100 years ago, where students sat in a class and they had a complete 9 months They had to go to school 9 months out of the year, and they had to get so many credits, and they had to, it's almost like serving in prison. You know? why not move it to more of a credentialing system where, you know, if you want to move faster, you can move faster. You do it on your own. You get certified. I mean, you're seeing this in the technical area and many technical areas where you get a certification, and that's the end result. And
we had a conversation you and I one time about where are the educational leaders in higher education? Where are the people that are taking this message out to the public, to lawmakers, be it national or state, and saying, hey, here's the way we need to go. I recently read a quote where someone said that if you were to take a dentist 100 years ago and put him to sleep and now wake him up today and bring him into a dentist's office, he would not know how to perform given all the technology that's available to them right now. He wouldn't even know where to start. However, if you went back 100 years ago and got a teacher and put them to sleep for 100 years and brought them back to class, they could pick up right where they left off.
Right. There might be a whiteboard instead of a blackboard, but they could still do the same thing.
The point is that we have not embraced, unlike other industries, we have not embraced how technology can help students to learn and those of us who want to teach with it.
That's right. Well, listen, this has been a real interesting conversation, at least from my point of view. I hope our listeners will enjoy it. I would certainly like to continue it, and maybe I'll call on you again. In fact, once we get a little closer to National Distance Learning Week, maybe we could touch base again, and you could, I look at this session as a way to get the administrators and the staff to get moving and prepare for National Distance Learning Week, and maybe when we get a little closer, we can talk a little bit more about what's actually going to take place and stir up some more interest among our students and faculty.
Right, I think that's a great idea. I know you're probably please feel free to share my I'll do it myself. My email with your listeners. They can email me at Drexel University simply at kenhartman@drexel.edu. Please feel free to put that in your show notes as well. Again, okay. kenhartman@drexel.edu. I'd love to hear their ideas, and certainly we've been pontificating and sharing here the last few minutes, and where I'm wrong, I'd love to hear, because we have to maintain, we have to keep this conversation open. There's got to be a place and a space for an honest and open discussions about the issues that are facing higher education today. And unfortunately or fortunately, it's being done on places like your podcast, and it should be happening on campuses across America.
Well, Ken, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today, and I welcome our future conversation.
Great, thanks, Rod, and thanks, and have a great day.
Right, thanks a lot.
Well, that's about it for today's episode. Don't forget to get your free V-Room. Just click on the link in my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. So until next time, have a great week.
Please leave Rod feedback at 610-616-2199.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.